A month ago, Julian Crandall Hollick took us to Apna Street in Bombay or Mumbai. Today, Julian takes us to Calcutta, now called Kolkata, and another small special community he's known for many years. Like Apna Street, Rambagan is a busti, or slum, home to 10,000 men, women, and children. But this area of Calcutta has always been a slum with a difference, a big difference. As we discover, as Julian takes us to meet the artists of Rambagan.
Wonderful things, pre-monsoon showers. Short, sharp, very welcome. They take the edge off another warm and humid Thursday afternoon here in Rambagan Basti in North Calcutta. Profala Hazra's practicing a series of intricate beats on his tabla for the umpteenth time. Sweat pours down his temples. Hazra's lived here in Rambagan all his life. But his musical talents have taken him out of the slum to the local studios of All India Radio and also on tours to Europe and North America as an official representative. The narrow alleyways echo to kids' laughter, schools just out. Geese and goats pick their way past thatch huts, searching for scraps. Rambagan's one of the city's oldest slums, a compact block of twisting alleyways and bamboo and mud huts, just behind the Liberty Cinema on Central Avenue in North Calcutta. The slum stands on the site of Sutanati, one of the three fishing villages that existed before Calcutta was founded by the East India Company in 1690. The British and rich Bengalis used to keep their mistresses and notch girls here. It was therefore inevitable that Rambagan would become Calcutta's red light district. By 1952, the place had become synonymous with every known human vice and crime. Something had to be done. So the slum sent a delegation to ask for help from the nearby Ramakrishna Mission. The leader of that delegation was Panilal Malik's father.
And they met Swamiji. My father may be the leader of the group. They requested, "Swami, please come and do something for us." And Swami Lokeshwarandaji, he accepted that proposal and he came here to visit in 1952.
It was then a slum, and it was impossible to walk through the place. The roads full of human excreta.
That was Swami Lokeshwarananda.
People began to glare at me. I later discovered most of the people live by snatching, picking pockets, committing all manner of crimes, you know. It was a den of vices. Some of them were hired assassins. You hired them to eliminate somebody. It was like that.
Things were so bad, the police had to patrol the tiny slum 24 hours a day.
I asked myself, what can I do for them?
Swamiji sent in teams of students to teach the adults how to read and write. The adults, in turn, asked the Ramakrishna Mission to come teach their children. So the mission set up a primary school, later a secondary school. When I first went there over 10 years ago, more than 90% of the slum was already literate. The monks also took a handful of the brightest children away to the mission's own school, gave them a complete education, and saw many of them right through college. Panilal Malik was one of that first group of boys. Panilal has a degree in chemical engineering, but he now works here in Rambagan full-time, helping pull the entire community out of poverty.
So it was really the Ramakrishna Mission which saved you.
They're the
people who...
They are the pioneers. The ignition was done by them. The material was here, but the ignition work was done by them.
There are approximately 3,000 adults now living in the slum. Over 2,000 of them are either musicians, painters or craftsmen. This is what makes Rambagan unique, and this is how they've pulled themselves out of poverty.
And this is our slum, the only slum, I think, where the artisan community lived for a long time before the inception of the city. So this is not like other slums in the city.
The slum dwellers are descended from Dholams, the untouchable caste who cremate the dead on the banks of the Ganga and other rivers. Now, many of the Dholams also used to work as weavers, and even today, a third of the adults still spend their days weaving cane and wicker baskets, like Gopal Biswas and his son Prabal, sitting on a stone ledge, cutting and matting intricate trays. Gopal says this has been the family profession for as long as he can remember.
Yes, I'm giving the lesson and helping my son to learn this cane job, like I also learned from my father, you know.
The inhabitants of Rambagan know that if they're to survive by their traditional skills, they'll have to constantly innovate and compete in the marketplace. So the Ramakrishna Missions set up a training school inside Rambagan to teach the weavers how to become entrepreneurs. Paltu Malik, for example, is a painter, but to make a living, he's become an architect, employing dozens of his fellow artisans. And when I first met Paltu, he just received a commission to design and build a three-story temple for an Indian festival in New Jersey.
Are these permanent structures or structures destined to be taken down?
What I thought was solid brick was in reality just a bamboo frame covered with jute and painted so well it looked like the real thing. Paltu shows me a photo of a palace complete with trees and shrubs.
This is the pendal we made here in our basti when you observe this Kali festival. And I did this out of paper and I did the painting over that. You know.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, really.
Durga Chananpal's just started work on this fall's statues for the Durga Puja festival.
This image making is our traditional thing, you know. I learned it from my father, and my father probably learned it from his father. And my son also, they are studying in the college. One is studying the master degree in the university. And I don't know whether they will take up this profession, you know.
But it's the music school that really sums up the tremendous sense of pride and optimism. Here in Rambagan, you can learn to play every type of drum, from the giant bangla dhol to the ubiquitous tabla, but also the sitar, classical singing or katakari dance. The music school's now so popular there are over 800 students, not just from within Rambagan, but from all over Calcutta. Many of the master musicians still live here in the slum. But like Prafala Hazra, the tabla player, they frequently tour overseas and appear on the radio and in concert. Desirati Garai is teaching three students the shehnai, the traditional Indian oboe staple of all Indian weddings. During the marriage season, Desirati earns several hundred dollars a month. Radio weddings and concerts are lucrative enough that his son Ashok plans to carry on the family tradition.
Yes, I have a firm belief that I will continue with this music and I won't leave this. I won't do any kind of white-collar job or doing some kind of clerk job, this and that, because I love music. And traditionally, this music is a trust to our family. You know, I think music is to me a puja, is a worship, and it makes me a lot of strength.
Yeah. Rambagan's also famous for its traditional Bengali rod puppets. And Nipendranath Garai is perhaps its greatest living exponent. Garai's puppet shows are full-length dramas involving a team of 10 puppeteers and 8 musicians. The puppets are carved from solid wood, fully clothed and with makeup. They're 4 foot high, weigh 50 pounds each, and are suspended above the stage from long rods connected to the puppet's arms, legs and mouth. Now, Bengali puppets may be traditional, but Garai is an innovator. His rod puppets speak and dance.
So you do a lot of dancing. You must be exhausted. You're dancing around holding this weight above your head.
Yes, it's a very hard job, you know. I have to hold the puppet, I have to operate the puppet, I have to dance with the puppet. Even I have to sing with the puppet.
I want you to show me also how much you can move the puppet. Is it just the arms? Can you move the head?
Everything is moving. Even the eyeballs, the lips, the hands, the legs, even the hips, you know.
So you're controlling it all with your fingers?
Ah. Yes.
Garai wants to modernize the traditional Bengali puppet show, but his public won't let him. They're very conservative. They want the same old stories, the Ramayana or the Mahabharata.
If I take this contemporary reality and try to produce some puppet plays, what I observe that people are not interested, because I'm giving the ordinary costume to the puppets. People are interested to see the puppets with colorful costumes, you know, a lot of loud thing, you know.
Just one very indiscreet question. How old are you now?
Amar boyes ekhon 67.
I'm 67 years old. And maybe I am 67, but I feel very strong because when I do this puppet, you know, a lot of exercise I need for that, for the dancing and other things. I think this particular profession makes me fit. You know.
You bet it does. We should all be doing it.
We can.
No, I love this profession very much, you know. And after the death of my wife, you know, 10 years back, this dolls playing is something in my life, you know. I have some kind of direct attachment to these things, you know. Without this, I cannot live.
The musicians and craftsmen of Rambagan earned $20,000 from their appearance in the Festival of India in Moscow in the 1980s. They gave half of that towards the cost of rehousing all 352 families in modern two-bedroom apartments with proper sanitation and running water. The community helped design the buildings so that each floor had a communal space for crafts and making music together. The new apartments were built within the slum itself at a cost of more than $1 million. The apartments are held in trust and could not be sold individually. Panilal Malik has always hoped this would convince individuals not to sell up and move to another cheaper slum, and so far it hasn't happened.
So we are proud that we are not beggars here in the project. We are also the organizer in the project. And after for paying, it is good for us that they will feel that it is their property. Through our sweat and blood, we have given that money. Other if they get without anything, they are to take no care for the property. So it is a process going on to participate the people. And it is the most essential criteria of this project, the participation of the people.
Swami Lokeshwarananda, who started everything when he went to Rambagan on foot more than 50 years ago, died in 1999 at the age of 100. When I was in Rambagan a few months ago, the new apartments were still not quite finished. They should have been completed in 2000, but they're still $50,000 short. Hopefully, this year or next, the project will finally be complete. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Calcutta.
Next month, Julian returns to Mumbai for the final piece in this series, Dawn at Parsi Gully. If you'd like to read stories and see photos about Apna Street or Rambagan, visit our website at npr.org. The Artists of Rambagan was edited and produced by Shabana Coelho and Fernando Ruiz del Prado. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.